Oh. How do you do?
I'm all right. How's it going with you?
I'm real tired.
Have you been up late or working hard or just kind of sick?
I've been up late and working hard. I'm pleased to report.
Oh, good. That's a good combination.
Yeah, I feel quite healthy. I have all of my kind of lingering illnesses from the holiday season. At 6 or 7 weeks later, I am feeling quite recovered from.
Yes, there's like secondary waves going around.
Oh, yeah.
I think that people I know that like didn't get sick in January, they're getting sick in February.
They're getting the revenge strain.
Yeah.
How is your health?
I'm fine.
Oh, good. I'm doing well. Great.
Because I got sick in January.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. Maybe we got the first strain immunity.
Yeah, the first wave of it or whatever. So, yeah.
Yeah. How do you feel about the continuing adventures of our boys on the open sea?
I finally feel like it's kind of starting to go somewhere. Like, I feel like they're wrapping up. Like, the way I've realized that the kind of the format of the narrative is that the sort of chase and capture and killing and butchering of one whale,
mm-hmm.
and the description of how it works and all the technical detail that's in it, that I realized that I speculated about in the past. I was like, oh, do they render down the fat? I don't know. Do they render down the fat?
Well,
oh, hell yes, they do.
Yeah, I guess they
do. Yes, they do. They have a big old crazy ass
stone oven on the deck of the ship.
On the deck of the ship. And he describes how it's like glowing red and smoking and pitch is roiling around in it. And
again, a scene from hell. All night.
A scene from hell, like a ship from hell.
Boiling fat and oil and grease everywhere, and naked men with poles shoveling the fat, just acres of fat by the strip into the ovens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. And again, just after a little bit of catching whales and various adventures talking to other ships, yeah, more. We finally got to the point. And I mean, I guess he is going, when he's doing these factual, scientific, you know, textbook chapters, but we are sort of chronologically going through the process of taking apart the whale. And then now we're at the next part where they're taking the pieces that they had and we're rendering them and processing them and sealing them in casks to shut them away below deck.
It's all a hell of a process. And then they're like, you know, and he talks about how they get all the way to the end of, you know, of rendering it down. And then they clean themselves up and they make themselves all nice and squeaky clean.
A lot of detail about again. How the boat must be cleaned so it can be destroyed again on the morrow.
Yeah. And then 5 minutes later.
Yep. Someone's
Darcy blows, and it's time to start killing again.
Get out like, there again.
Get out there again with your spears and your killing implements.
Your spears and darts and lances and spades and hooks.
Yeah, for butchery, for tearing apart these animals.
And also something we were sort of speculating and wondering about. Everyone does go and get jars of the oil after it's all being processed to light their own lamps and also to cook with, it sounds like. They talk about how it is a toothsome, they might not use that exact term, but something about cooking with the oil and using it as lamplight on the ships.
Yes, and I mean, that's also, it's like they start the fires on the Triworks using wood chips that the carpenter gives them from, you know, just doing his regular maintenance mm-hmm. around the ship, carpentry. But once the fire started, they're not going to keep using wood. because wood is precious. There's a bunch of there's only so much of it on the ship.
We got a bunch of chunks of dried whale skin right here that.
Yeah, we got dried whale fat though, and that burns real good. So we're rendering down whale fat with burning it with pieces of blubber on a ship pitching in the ocean.
And everything, and black smoke and foul vapors everywhere.
A scene from hell. It's also portentous. The portents are strong.
Yeah. And also, and again, and as we will see, everyone that they talk to is issuing them some warning and making some, grand portent of doom, which, from a.
Did you get all the way to the chapter
I have read up to
and end
chapter,
of chapter?
I have read chapter 100.
Yeah, I read chapter 100, the
Oh,
leg
yeah,
and
the
the
leg and
arm.
arm. Yeah. That's a big. Yeah, this guy is
And
this.
this is where you remember the guy
Yeah.
who had the arm,
Hammer fist. Yeah.
Hammer Fist, but it's a different
It's a
guy.
different guy. It
It's
must
not
have a. Yeah.
Ahab. And this guy, he's like, hey, what's up? You got an ivory leg, I got an ivory arm.
Yeah,
How's
this
that
is
going, man?
great. Yeah.
So how'd you lose
Cool.
the arm? And he's like, oh, Moby Dick, Moby Dick didn't need my arm, but it was like he make a very gory description of how, like, oh yeah, you know how we have two lances on the line, you throw one lance and the other lance on the other on the line falls in the water and just kind of flails around. Well, Moby Dick knocked my ass in the water, and that line that's flailing around wore my arm from my, like, I think they described from like his bicep all the way down to like his wrists or something
Yeah.
like that. Just like a horrific wound, just like ripped his arm right off, basically.
Really
They
bad and became horrifically infected, of course.
horrifically infected, so the doctor just basically had to take it off, and he survived. And Ahab is like, don't you want horrible vengeance? And the dude is like,
Like,
oh,
no.
hell no.
Nah. That's
I
nah.
don't know. I'm
I'm good.
I saw
I
I'm
have one
good.
whale
Yeah, it's
bite.
like,
That's yeah.
yeah, I saw him a couple times after that, and I was like,
Like, nah.
I'd like to keep my other arm.
That whale's mean. Let's stay away from. You guys should stay away from that whale. The doctor's there cracking jokes and shit too.
Yeah.
Yeah. This guy is like, oh
And
man.
Ahab acting all psycho about it, and they're like, whoa, are you all right?
Yeah, really. People left and right are telling Ahab to chill out about this white
Yeah.
whale, and he is just. What vengeance can he hope to exert from this beast? Just, I guess, his own satisfaction.
Yeah, the doctor is like, this man's blood is at the boiling point. His pulse,
Yeah.
dude's sick.
So, yeah, they do get chased by pirates through the Malacca Straits, where there are tons of whales.
Yeah, they're chasing tons and tons of whales, and they're just stabbing a bunch of them. And oh my God, it's so gross. They just when they get among a big pod of like a lot of whales, and they can just be stabbing more whales than they can deal with. They like stick a flag in them.
Yeah, to claim them, which sometimes other whaling ships will come by and pick up your claimed whales, which
Yeah,
we're
which
also going
is,
to see, yeah.
and sometimes they know they can't kill them, so they'll wound them and they'll stick a drug in them, drug with
Yeah,
two
a
G's.
big thing to drag behind it, yeah.
And yeah, I guess the way it's described is just basically like a wooden thing, like a wooden plank, like an X plank or something
Yeah,
like
like
that.
a cross-shaped couple of planks that, yeah, will
That
float
like
and
that will like
are couldn't
slow it
be
down
tied to
whilst.
it,
Yeah, that like slow him down while he's swimming, and
yeah.
it like ah, oh, there's a barbed hook stuck in me. It fucking bleeds. It
Fucking
sucks.
Hellraiser shit.
So then the whaling boats can go back and chase him down at their own leisure and kill the wounded whales and keep doing what they're doing.
He talks about whales and other animals stampeding, and he talks about how like people will stampede if you, for instance, yell fire in a theater.
Yeah.
And he says this. He says, "For there is no folly of the beast of the earth that is not infinitely outdone by the madness of men." Yeah,
Yeah.
Ishmael. Yeah.
I think about every once in a while you read about horrible
People being crushed,
crushed, trampled, like
stampedes.
people
God,
at like
yeah. I thank
religious
God.
festivals. Like the most recent thing was something at a religious festival, I think, in India.
Yeah.
And a lot of people were killed. Like 20 plus people were killed. I'm just like a crush.
Just
It's
too
like
many people. Just too many
it's
people
too
in a place, and what can you do? Like, and it becomes God damn. God. That's
I
a.
like, you know, I went to the last time I went to not the last time I was to a concert, but the last time I remember going to a concert, and it was one of the last concerts I ever went to, because I don't really go to shows anymore.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
Too old for
Me
that
too.
shit.
Yeah.
And this is one of those shows that made me feel like I was too old for that shit because I like there was like it wasn't really even like a very big what do you call it? It wasn't even a very big
Venue.
venue, but there was just like a big stage rush when the main act came on,
Oh man, yeah.
and
Yeah, that could be fucking scary.
a whole bunch of people like basically fell on each other and fell on me, and I had like people lying on my legs, and I couldn't stand up.
That sucks.
Like, yeah, it
Yeah,
was,
that's
and it
so
was,
bad. Oh
and people were
God.
shouting and screaming. They're like, "Yo, pull back, you can't get up."
Dude. Yeah.
Yeah, just a pile of people, and eventually people like started to push back and push away, and eventually got up, and me and the buddy I was with kind of pushed our way back out and went to the bar in the back, and we're like, okay, let's have some drinks now and not go back out
Yeah.
into the front again. We thought like we were gonna get up to the front, we were gonna see the show from the front. We're like, oh, nope, no, we're not gonna do that.
Oh, a bunch of people trying to crush each other up there.
Yeah. We're too old for this.
Yeah, that shit can become very, very scary, obviously. I mean, I can't even, I mean, imagine being in a fucking stadium full of people that for some reason are trying to get out. Just
Yeah,
tens of
exactly.
thousands of
And that
people
was
going through little
exactly.
corridors like 300.
Like, that's just what I was thinking about. It was only,
Yeah, that was in like a club or something, right? Like a,
exactly. It was in a
yeah.
club. It was like it was a smallish venue.
But just even like the
It's like a
floor
few
of a theater
hundred,
like that
yeah, a
is
few hundred
enough.
people, probably
Yeah.
1,000 people, maybe at the most.
A few hundred people will do it. A few hundred people can be too many if they're in the wrong place, yeah.
Yeah, they all try to occupy the same place at once.
Yeah, they all want to be in the front row at the concert.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm done doing that shit. The last concert I went to, I sat up in the seats and smoked joints, which I guess, yeah, I guess you figured out that. That's what you do. But yeah, I've done, I don't think I, yeah, I mean, I don't, I'm more or less done going out for an evening's entertainment of any type of fashion.
Yeah,
Like,
me
I
too.
really, I have not been to a movie since 2019. And I just like, and who cares?
I would like to go see the Captain America movie in the theater, but
Oh, okay.
I'm gonna just gonna go see it like daytime.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, I wanted to see Nosferatu, but a little too late for that anyway, but I don't know. Maybe someday I will, but you know, yeah, who knows? Right now it's a good time to stay inside. You know, partially because it's February anyway,
Oh yeah, it's cold as hell.
but
It's
yeah, I
very.
mean, but yeah, I mean, anything being in crowds of people. I don't even, yeah, I don't go to conventions, none of that stuff. I'm, yeah. I've had enough of that for now. Maybe I'll change my I withhold the right to change my mind, but I'm done out being around people at concerts and movies and conventions.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we get some talk about how whales behave as schools and how generally you see two different types of schools. One is a big male with a bunch of cows around him, and the other is a bunch of young males causing trouble. And we talk about fast fish and loose fish. Which
Yeah.
is the very loose and only law of the whaling world, which
Yeah.
is,
And I love it because he uses it to equate to like geopolitics. You know, he's like, you know, there's fast fish and there's loose fish. You know, you're allowed to take
I
any
wrote
fish
something down about
that
harpooning
belongs to somebody
wives.
else. That's yeah. If somebody else, it's like if it's on somebody else's line, if somebody is in the act of harpooning it, Like, you're definitely not allowed to just like run over as they're harpooning and harpoon it more yourself and grab the whale and be like, fuck off. The other people who are also harpooning it. Like,
Right.
that is definitely not okay.
You're also
You know?
not allowed to harpoon your neighbor's wife, I think is something
Yeah, exactly. That's the.
that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jokes about that.
That was my one note for this chapter.
But anything else, pretty much. It's a loose fish and it's fair fucking game. Like, tough fucking luck.
Does he round
Like,
it out by saying, like, aren't we all loose fish on this ocean of
yeah,
He says a
exactly.
lot
And
of shit like
he says a lot of shit.
that.
He's like, was North America a loose fish or a fast fish when the English came?
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
So stuff like that, when the Spanish conquered all of, South America and stole all the gold, was that a loose fish or a fast fish, stuff like that.
He talks about some court case where some ship caught a whale and tied the whale up, and there happened to be a boat with some lances still tied to that whale, and he was like, well, I caught the whale, and I guess everything that's tied to it I own also, so I own your boat now and all your equipment. Fuck off.
Oh yeah, like apparently they have an old English law that like any whale caught like
Oh
this
yeah, the
is the old medieval story and it's a medieval law and the whale any whale caught belongs to the king, so the Lord Marshal or something, the noble who's nearby who's the representative of the king comes and like takes the whale and it's like, this is my whale now. And they're
Yeah.
like, wait, what? But we caught the whale, and he's like, too bad. This is the law. Law says, this is my whale. There's a chapter on ambergris.
Oh yeah. Is
Yeah.
it Stubb that does some fast talking and steals an ambergris-filled whale from
Yeah, he convinces some
the Rosebud?
rookie, yeah,
The
some rookie,
Rusbatan.
yeah, some rookie whale, whaling captain to like
He says
just
the whales are diseased, and if you keep towing them along this boat, everyone will get sick.
yeah, you've chopped up a couple like already dead whales, and this dude doesn't know any better. He's like, really? Shit, let him go. And then he runs off, and then they grab the whale that the dude dropped, and there's the blubber's not very good, but
Yeah.
they're like,
Stubb recognizes certain physical qualities of this whale, like it is scrawny and sick looking, and something about that. You talked about this before. It hasn't quite gotten down to the book has not described ambergris as being like a reaction to some irritated stomach. Well, I mean, it kind of does, I guess, because it talks about having like squid bones encased in it, and now it is a sick whale. It has a, yeah, I don't know. I guess a little bit it has talked about what the substance actually is and how it forms.
yeah. Well, I assume they didn't know enough whale biology at this point to actually say, like, oh, this substance forms in the whale's stomach around the beaks of the squids
Yeah.
that it eats whole, as sort of like a protective lining, the way, pearl form around irritants inside a clam or something like that. Like, they don't know how to describe it like that, but yeah, that is
But
what
that
it
is some,
is.
but it is something like that, yeah.
But they use it for perfume, so it's just one more thing they can get out of the dead whales that they're hunting to make money off of.
And a valuable thing too, yeah.
It's probably the most valuable thing by weight and size. There's the oil from the blubber, which is like the least valuable thing, but you get a lot of it. There's the spermaceti, which is even more
You get
valuable.
tons of it, yeah.
But you still get tons of it. And then there's the ambergris, which you only get a little bit of it here and there off of specific dead whales.
Despite all of the smelly things we've discussed, and maybe because of all the smelly things we've discussed, Ishmael takes an entire chapter to describe all of the ways in which he thinks whales smell very nice. Living whales smell nice, their skin smells nice, all the parts of them smell nice. The problem is a lot of people recognize the smell of rotting whales.
Yeah, again, because again, for most people, the most people's close encounters with whales are going to be at this point with
Pretty scary.
beached whales,
Yeah. Or
you know.
smelly. Yeah, is what I should have said.
Yeah, we're dead and smelly.
We have a terrible story about poor Pip, who is left adrift in the open ocean when all of the boats go in different directions.
Oh my God, yeah, because he keeps jumping up out
Yeah.
of the boat when
Which, oh
the.
yeah, that's not even the first bad thing that happens to him, what I said.
Yeah, and then he gets caught by the rope and almost strangled.
As the harpoon is thrust into the whale, Pip has, yeah, for some reason he keeps leaping into action and in almost in some kind of instinct or panic, leaps right out of the boat when it's time for action.
Yeah.
And he gets wrapped in the line as the line is hooked to a whale that is running away very rapidly. So he's pinned against the side of the boat being choked. And Tashtigo has to ask permission before he cuts the rope.
Yeah.
That's a valuable whale.
Yeah, like, and Stubb is like, the whale is more valuable than you, kid. I just didn't really want you to fucking
I
die right
didn't
there.
want you to
Okay.
get fucking strangled on the side of the boat. Jesus.
Yeah.
But
So,
yeah.
keep your seat next time. But he can't. He can't do it.
Panicky,
So the next,
nervous little fellow.
yeah, I think it has to do with the way the whale line is all stretched out and it like
Yeah,
sits on
because they
top of him.
jump, they have to jump over it when it does get hooked.
Yeah,
And he's
exactly.
jumping just completely out of the way of everything by jumping over
Yeah.
the boat.
Yeah. And yeah, the next time it goes off, he jumps out of the boat completely and he gets left behind. And Stubbs like, fuck him. Somebody will pick him
And
up.
except that all three boats go in different directions all of a sudden. Just
Yeah.
as fate would happen, they all grab a whale going in different directions.
Yeah. So
There's
nobody picks them up.
some real
Not for a little
poetic
while.
language about how they save Pip, but his soul was drowned and went down to linger amongst tritons and mermaids and great rolling somethings, and how he sees the feet of God on the petals of the world or something. And then doesn't talk anymore. Poor Pip. Weird, awful shit happens out at sea.
You just by yourself out in this out in the ocean. Think about that. In 1851.
And any goddamn year, if you can't see a boat or
Yeah,
a ship or anything, it doesn't.
but in
Wow.
2025, maybe you'll
Yeah.
see a plane or a
You
drone or
probably have a
something.
phone.
I don't think the phone will help much, but
You could at least like play Candy Crush or whatever while you wait.
yeah, and no, but it's always bad.
Yeah, I mean
But
that's
they
a
come back and get him
that's one
again.
that's like one of
Yeah.
the worst places to be. I've often said I would rather be teleported to the moon than the middle of the ocean.
Yeah.
Really awful. What an awful God.
Remember we used to talk about the La Sombra vampire clan
Yeah.
and their
They sail the deep,
dark,
dark seas.
yeah, their evil, their dark abyss powers to control shadows and darkness, and everything is connected to their love of the ocean. This
Yeah.
is why.
The deep, black, eternal sea of the night, or whatever.
Exactly. Darkity, dark, dark.
So I guess, and I would like to read an entire passage here. I guess that when you got all the sperm in your barrels, and this is again just to remind anyone listening that so this is a different substance than the oil we've talked about. That has been cooked, packed away, cleaned up. It's below in the hold. The sperm, for whatever reason, is in a bunch of, well, this is the reason. It's in a bunch of tubs in a certain room on the ship, and they have to get a team of men to go in there. The sperm will begin to congeal. They got to go in there and just reach their bare hands into the sperm for what sounds like an entire day, a team of them, and mix it up and crush any of the globules that are congealing together to make sure the sperm is slippery and, nice, I guess, luxurious. So I want to read what I this paragraph struck me, the writing and what he's talking about. Squeeze, squeeze, squeeze all the morning long. I squeezed that sperm till I myself almost melted into it. I squeezed that sperm till a strange sort of insanity came over me, and I found myself unwittingly squeezing my co-laborers' hands in it, mistaking their hands for the gentle globules. Such an abounding, affectionate, friendly, loving feeling did this avocation beget, that at last I was continually squeezing their hands and looking up into their eyes sentimentally, as much as to say, oh, my dear fellow beings, why should we longer cherish any social acerbities or know the slightest ill humor or envy? Come, let us squeeze hands all round. Nay, let us all squeeze ourselves into each other. Let us squeeze ourselves universally into the very milk and sperm of kindness.
I know. I was going to talk about that chapter eventually, too.
Oh, boy.
As he describes this, first of all, this sounds gross.
Great.
Second of all, he makes it sound like extremely sensual.
Oh my god, so slippery and nice and luxurious.
And
like
luxurious.
The richest
and it's,
moisturizing hand creams. A tub of it.
I mean,
I guess that's what it's like.
I guess that's what it's like. I mean, the way they describe it is
they're intoxicating. It sounds like there's LSD.
They're like, it's a big thing of sperm. It's just like, you know, human sperm, it's like vats of it.
Sperm.
And
yeah, when he goes at great lengths to describe the stringy, gooey, residual stuff that is left behind when you finally offload all the sperm. Boy. Oh, that stuff is called Slobgolian, by the way.
Slobgolian? What the fuck?
There's a lot of big words in this chapter, but that's the one I wrote down.
Yeah. Oh my god. This chapter is really something.
Really. And also, I mean, also, or is he talking about how the is the oil also it seems to be very cleansing. Like there's so much all the leftover oil, they're also just lathering up into suds and washing the deck with it. Like everything in the whale sounds extremely useful.
Yeah. Yeah. And consider they even leave behind most of the meat and bones and everything for the sharks and the birds to eat.
Yeah, which are all over the place.
Yeah, they
sharks
just take the
birds.
Yeah, they just take the blubber and the head.
That chapter is called A Squeeze of the Hand, by the way.
Squeeze of the hand.
That's a little. That's
super. It's super sensual. It's very. It's yeah.
There's a tiny little bit of a Twin Peaks connection. Obviously not intentional. Do you notice that one of the workers takes the whale's penis, chops the skin off, makes it dries it out, makes it into a coat, and uses the coat to be protected from birds while he's continuing to chop the blubber into strips?
No, I missed that.
That's chapter 95, The Cassock, and I had to look up the term that they used, which is not in my notes for some reason, but I looked up the term and it said, yes, a whale's penis. It was chapter 95, but I don't even have it was after Slobgolian, so it was after 563. I'll see if I can find the word. It was like misdevious.
Oh my god. Yeah, look at this sailor who now comes along and it's just heavily backs the grandissimus.
The grandissimus. That word means the penis of a whale.
With bowed shoulder, staggers off with this as if he were a grenadier carrying a dead comrade. I had no idea what he was talking about.
The grandissimus.
I was like, the what? I just kind of kept reading. I was like, yeah. I think this is like kind of one of the chapters where
it was a very scientific. Now I'm going to talk about some part of the whale.
Oh no, it was also like right after the squeeze of the hand.
Yeah,
This is the
right,
sh
yeah.
yeah. So again, right after he talks about all keeping your hands in that sperm and squeezing and squeezing yourself into other people. There's a dude who makes a coat out of a penis, huh?
Well, it's good that they use most of the parts other than what the birds eat. You gotta do something with it. It's a huge lump of flesh the size of a man, bigger than the brain.
Gotta do something with the fellas. Oh my God.
Some more doom and gloom and omens when he talks about the coin nailed to the mast and how it is like a sign of their, not only their like eventual doom and their destiny, but also their failure to have as yet seen a white whale. And a lot of like, yeah.
Yeah, multiple interpretations. There's somebody like hiding, and it's like, what does everybody think about it? And it's almost like a little stage play. Each significant character wanders by and looks at the doubloon and says what they're thinking, what they think about it, and what it means to them
Yeah,
before they.
they're talking a lot about horoscopes as well.
You know what's funny too? Somebody says it's just $16. It's
Yeah,
sixteen
that's, I mean, that
dollars.
works.
I remember Googling back in chat when we read this, like in chapter 40, when I nailed it to the wall, like, how much is that worth? And it's like $16. According to Flask, it's worth 960 cigars.
Well, if a cigar is worth about $10 today, that's a pretty good price
I think I remember looking up
for
the
a
buying
doubloon.
power, and it was like a couple thousand. It's like $1,000, $2,000. It's a good amount. It's a nice
Oh,
bonus.
we're
It's
talking about
not.
like we're talking about $2 cigars.
Yeah,
That's those aren't very good cigars.
it's not. We're not talking about like a life-changing amount of money. You know, it's
No.
one doubloon. It is a single coin, a gold coin, but a single gold coin. So it's not like, again,
It
a
would be a
life-changing.
nice bonus, but he's not out there going like, yeah,
Yeah.
you're gonna take this coin home and never gonna have to go out on a ship again. You're gonna buy a mansion and a pony and a unicorn.
Right. Buy your own boat.
And then, yeah, when we get to the end of this section of the reading is when we meet another captain who has lost an arm and,
Yeah.
man, excuse me. And yeah, replaced it with one made of ivory, just like
Just like
Ahab
Ahab.
has replaced his leg.
Yes, but unlike Ahab,
This
he's
guy.
totally chill. This guy's very chill about it. This guy's just like, well, that sucked.
Yeah.
I'm definitely not going to want to do that again.
I love his attitude. I mean, come
Ahab can't
on.
understand it. Ahab is like, why don't you want your bloody revenge? And he's like, why would I want my bloody revenge?
Mean old whale. Mean old dangerous whale. Like,
Yeah.
I almost wonder if we're gonna find out if there's gonna be some weird Ahab backstory where the whale has some significance to some, person that he lost and it's tied up in his psychology for some reason, and he's crazy for some reason other than revenge. I don't know. I kind of doubt it. I kind of think it's just going to be mad revenge.
I kind of doubt it. I as far as I know, it's just the mad revenge.
Think
I remember
thematically, that's what the
thematically,
story is about. Yeah. All right. So that's where we are. Chapter 100 out of what, 136? We are like almost
yeah.
there.
Yeah, we are. We're getting
We're
close.
getting close to whatever kind of. There's going to be some tragedy. I think, yeah. Saint, who do you think will survive this book?
Ishmael will definitely survive at
Ishmael will,
least
yeah.
long
We
enough.
know that he. At least long enough to hang out in Spain with his bros.
Yeah, hang out or in Lima with some
Yeah.
bros, drinking wine, swearing on Bibles and drinking wine. Who else do I think will survive? I know who survives because I know how the
Oh, you
story
do?
ends.
Oh, I
Yeah.
think. Oh, okay. I think Queequeg is gonna die. I think Queequeg and Ahab will die.
All right.
Maybe Flask or Stub, but I think Queequeg is doomed. I think there was like specific wording in the early chapters that made me feel like there was foreshadowing about Queequeg. And I feel like I know that Ahab dies, but I don't really know that I know that.
You just suspect that strongly.
It just seems like just thematically and from what I know about the structure of, you know what people used to say when they were like, I can tell from some of the pixels and from seeing quite a few Photoshops in my day. I feel like I've read enough tragic stories to know what's going to happen to Psycho Ahab.
This is not like anti-hero Ahab who's got like some redeeming feature that might draw him back from the edge of the abyss.
We're not going to get a character arc on this guy. Like, this is,
This is a psycho. He's already jumped down that abyss. And he's just waiting to hit the bottom.
He's gonna do the stuff that Khan says.
Yeah. He's gonna say it. Just
Okay.
see, I now we just want to see where when he says, "From hell's heart, I
I
stab at
stab
thee."
at thee, yeah.
When is he gonna stab at thee from hell's heart? Like, what chapter do we think that he stabs at thee?
I think that he will probably say it in the chapter The Chase Part 3, which is chapter 135.
Okay.
That's what I think. I think he's going to say that and then be crushed simultaneously. I think seconds after he shouts that into the Leviathan as he plunges his harpoon into its eye, he will be crushed momentarily. I feel like I didn't put that sentence together totally well.
That seems like a good bet in the final chapter.
Yeah, I think that's what's gonna happen.
Yeah. As he goes down.
I know
That
the
that's the kind of thing you say as you're going down. Like, from hell's heart, I stab at thee. Like, what
yeah
else would you
the
be doing?
yeah
What else would you be doing in hell's heart if you're not like
if you're not
just about to,
on your way there
yeah,
yourself.
if you're not just about to die. All
Yeah,
right.
weird whale book.
Weird whale book, but there's it continues to sort of have a lot
Of info, of
of like info
textbook
dump,
info. Yeah, crazy,
textbook info,
insane
and just
amount.
insane amount of just how detailed everything works on the ship. But just also just like meshed in with all this like philosophical
Ponderings and
pondering,
meanderings,
and you know,
whales
so
and elephants and
historical, yeah,
Wally
historical,
Snellnice.
yeah, historical notes.
Nautical conventions.
Yeah.
Yeah, weird nautical laws and the ways that ships treat with one another and interact on the high seas. They're running across, they seem to interact with a lot of other boats.
Yeah, it's you know, you think a ship out on the ocean would be like alone out on the vast sea, but they run into other ships like constantly, all the time.
Yeah, there were ships all over the part. You ever play All Over the Place? You ever play Patrician?
No.
Oh man, you know about is it was it called the Asiatic League? It was like a trading league around like maybe around this time, but maybe around the 16 or 1700s in Europe, in Northern Europe. But anyway, it's
Oh,
a game where there's boats sh
the
shipping ships.
the
The
Hanseatic,
Hanseatic, yeah, sorry.
Northern Europe.
Yeah, so there's a series of games where there are just ships all over those seas doing trades, trading pig iron for salt and cod for fucking, I don't know. There were lots of things
Pig iron.
you could mercantile.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
Yeah, it was an old PC 90s-ish probably series.
No, that sounds like the kind of game I would have been into, but no, I never played that one.
No, yeah, I did expect you to say yes, I did, yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like
It
it.
was, yeah.
I've been trying to find a strategy game again for myself.
Yeah, how was Game of Thrones Crusader Kings?
Game of Thrones Crusader Kings is like, it's kind of like a warm nostalgia blanket. It's
Right, sure.
just kind of do the same thing over and over again with some slight variations.
Man, I never, yeah, Crusader Kings, I didn't, did not grab me, the like mechanics and the kind of.
I actually like the base Crusader Kings game, like the real history,
Yeah.
more than Game of Thrones most of the time. By like
Sure.
amount of hours played, I have a lot more hours put into the base game. Just because real history is a lot more big and complicated
Yeah.
than anything one writer could really do. But it is cool to play the fantasy one where you have a bunch of dragons and
Is
you
cool to have a bunch of dragons. I
burn a
mean,
bunch of
that's, you know, that
arrows.
goes without saying.
I've been playing that. I've been playing Sniper Elite 5 a little bit, which is totally new series for me. I've never played a Sniper Elite game.
I'm not positive I've heard of Sniper Elite.
Sniper Elites.
It sounds edgy.
I'm trying to figure out. Yes, it is a little bit actually. This is a game that's well known. It's most well known for when you hit somebody with a sniper shot, it like zooms in and slows down and does like this
Ooh.
Zack Snyder slow-mo
Yeah,
kill shot,
right.
and then
Okay.
it shows like an X-ray of like their internal
They're
organs being
yeah,
like
collapsing and
being torn apart by the
flying out
bullet.
their back, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And you can blow up testicles. So
Wow.
you can definitely there are definitely like in every apparently in like every Sniper Elite version, there's been like a some bonus or DLC level where you can go and kill Hitler. So you can
Oh.
go find Hitler and shoot him in the testicles with the sniper rifle.
I thought you were going to say there was a bonus level where you had to shoot as many testicles as you were able to.
No, I'm sure there's like some achievement for that
Lots of
though.
testicles.
Yeah. I just aim for the head for, just general sake. But, I actually found it a little bit like cooler and more entertaining to like keep the kill cam on but turn the X-ray off. So it just shows the bullet
Okay.
hitting somebody and then fall over.
And
Because
fall
it's still got
forever.
all it's still all gross and like gory and like shows the bullet like tumbling out the back
Okay,
and
yeah.
like blood spattering everywhere and whatnot. So I'm like, this is enough. I don't actually need to see. The X-ray shots are sometimes not even that good. Sometimes it just does an X-ray and I can't even see what's happening. I'm just like, oh, there's some stuff happening to
To
some
a bunch of bones that are all bunched together in
and
the
some
camera
organs.
angle that's chosen to show me.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you remember Romeo Must Die?
Oh yeah, that was like Jet Li's first US movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Was it? Wow, I almost felt like it was like a little bit later on. It was, well, anyway, did they invent
I think it was his first one, yeah.
the X-ray bones being crushed in an action movie?
I
Does
don't
he
know.
assault someone with a pool ball, with like a cue ball, and break their spine and you get an X-ray?
Possibly.
Something like that.
I don't remember the details.
I feel like there's a billiards-themed action scene where he's like, yeah, I feel like that. I recall
The
I
movie
could
he's
be.
in with Aaliyah, right? And is DMX in it? Or
Oh. Boy, actually, I mean, I was going to ask you if I should watch it again because I really don't remember. Most of what I remember is an image of an X-rayed man being assaulted by cue balls and maybe pool sticks.
Yeah, but it did do the X-ray thing where he'd like break bones and they'd
Right,
like show the X-ray
I
of
feel like
the.
that was the first time I saw it anyway, that kind of thing.
I don't know if it was the first time I
I don't
saw it.
know if Aaliyah was in it.
Aaliyah was in it, yeah.
Wow.
Aaliyah and DMX.
Romeo Must Die and, oh God, what was the second vampire movie? Queen of the Damned. That's
Queen
a
of the
good
Damned.
movie. That movie I should watch again.
I don't think I ever saw Queen of the Damned, actually.
Really?
Because they were like, oh, Brad Pitt and Tom Cruise aren't coming back for this one. And I was like, man.
And then everyone in the world said it's extremely bad, which it is.
Yeah, that too.
But
Also, Queen of the Damned is like my least favorite
of the books.
of the books of the vampire trilogy. I was like, that one is just like, oh, it's like, eh, it's okay.
I've only read the interview.
Vampire Lestat.
Maybe I should read those.
Interview is good. Vampire Lestat, I remember thinking was better, but I also read it when I was like 13 or 14 and was a total edgelord.
That puts a certain
So,
spin on things.
I also remember rereading it at some point later and being like, no, it is cool because Lestat really. The Vampire Lestat, the second book, is really told from his perspective, and it really does put kind of a different spin on some of the stuff
Does he
that he
revisit like
does.
things that happened in the first book?
Yeah, a
And
little bit.
gives his own perspective on it? Because they sort of did that on the TV show, and I was sort of like, wow, this is totally not in the book or the movie.
No, that's in the
Is in
Vampire
the second
Lestat.
book. That's cool.
Yeah, a little bit, but you also kind of get the idea that Lestat is
What
also
making
kind of.
things up?
Not necessarily making things up, but that his perspective is definitely very skewed.
Sure.
But like knowing some things, like he had a history with those like Theater of the Vampire dudes
Right.
before. Before,
And that's what like comes out in the second season of the TV show, and which seems different than the storyline used to be, or the
yeah,
anyway the movie then that I was familiar with.
they might have.
I mean, I'm sure they took many liberties other than whatever is in the
They
second
might have,
book.
yeah, they might have just taken the whole set of stories and taken a bunch of liberties with it. I don't know. Is
Yeah.
Anne Rice still alive? Did she pass away
No.
recently?
Yes. Did anybody ever tell you? I'm asking you this because I feel like you said this to me, but I guess probably not. But did anyone say to you that Queen of the Damned feels like a game of Vampire the Masquerade? Yeah, and that's true. That's real correct.
That's not me who said that, but that's totally correct.
Okay,
I
so
mean,
you should watch it.
dude, that's somebody who's like, who's played Vampire the Masquerade. It's really heavily based on Anne
On the
Rice.
Vampire Chronicles. It
Yeah,
is. I mean, the embrace.
on the Vampire Theory. Yeah, 100%. And that even goes to Queen of the Damned and the whole mythology of like, oh, it comes from ancient times and there's like, one progenitor.
Bloodlines and the progenitors and all that, and
Yeah,
then if they
exactly.
if our creators wake up, then everyone's and fucked.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a, yeah, that movie is such a Vampire the Masquerade, like Diablerie mission. It's like one session of a coterie going on a Diablerie. It's like, it's, you should, yeah. I'm repeating myself, but you really should take a look at it.
But I kind of don't want to.
No, well, you shouldn't because it's terrible.
Yeah.
So keep it in your, keep it in, on the edge of your radar.
If I have a desire to be like, I would need to watch something terrible to erase my mind.
It probably
I
came
need
out in the early 2000s, you think, you
to.
reckon?
Yeah, early 2000s. Because Aaliyah died in like 2004 or something like that.
Yeah, it feels like a 1996 movie. I mean, the early 2000s was a shit time for movies.
Oh yeah, I
Boy.
distinctly remember that. I remember it being a shit time, and I don't remember why. I just remember it being like
It was a clumsy age in a lot
nothing
of
good
ways, like for special effects and like just culture didn't know what to do with itself after it was the post 9/11 era. It was fucking weird.
happened. No, that's
And
fair too.
things just looked like shit. I mean, George fucking Lucas shot Attack of the Clones in 720p. That's the era we're talking about. I've been watching a TV show called Mr. Mercedes based on some Stephen King crime procedural novels, and it's fine.
And crime procedurals are like,
Fine.
yeah, they're kind of like a soap opera or like
Sure.
a sitcom. They're just like one of those things that you watch to like sort of turn your brain off. They're like, it's like, here's a mystery, and now we reveal the mystery step by literal
One
step.
peanut.
One step after another, we will lead you along by the hand and reveal it to you. Look at our mystery solving skills. And it's like, oh, wow. But
Look at
it's really,
this.
it's a procedural, you know, and
Yeah.
it's, that's just
Look
how it, you know, that's kind of how it goes.
at this grand, complicated web that we have woven and will now slowly unweave before you. It's.
Yeah. Although usually it's not even all that complicated because it's
No.
like a 42-minute show and they cram about 5 minutes of character drama in there, usually. It depends on the show. It depends on the allotment of like between 5 to 10 minutes of character drama versus like 30 minutes to 20 minutes of
Of
procedural.
what the of the actual crime.
Yeah, exactly.
Of the actual procedure, and then they gotta,
Depends on which show you're watching. Law and Order is more on the procedural side, and then some other shows are more on the interpersonal side.
But they gotta pepper in some of that overarching character development that they know that there are people that are coming back week after week for those little for those you got peanuts. It's more like you got like Hershey's Kisses laid out in a line, and your customers are eating Hershey's Kisses, but you gotta drop some peanuts down there too every five kisses or so, because a little salt with the sugar.
Yeah, exactly. You gotta mix it up.
Oh, classic TV recipe right there.
I don't know why I just thought of how I used to watch before police procedurals. I used to watch like old mystery shows on TV, like Murder, She Wrote
Yeah,
and like Poirot,
Columbo.
Columbo, a little bit of Columbo, not so much Columbo, but like I definitely remember Poirot, dude with funny.
Poirot.
Funny mustache.
Yeah, I don't remember that one as much as Columbo or there was another cranky old man. I'm trying to. I don't recall.
Sherlock Holmes, obviously.
Sure. Yeah, I didn't watch a lot of. Yeah, I didn't watch. I didn't watch a lot of. Sorry.
I don't remember too many Sherlock shows, though. There must have been like a Sherlock.
There must have been some kind of Sherlock Holmes serialized something on the
TV shows.
BBC, you know what I mean? I'm sure I saw some kind of Sherlock Holmes shit, just like I saw some adaptation of Moby Dick, you know?
And I'm not talking about the 2010s one that's with Martin
Oh,
Freeman
with
and Benedict Cumberbatch. That's
Iron Man. Oh, Benedict Cumberbatch. No, okay.
that's all dramatic as fuck for like an
And
hour straight.
modern, yeah.
Modern, and everybody is like super intense and dramatic for like an hour straight.
When I was in the fifth grade, I guess I would have been like, 10 or 11. That story about the monkey coming down the chimney fucked me up for life.
Is with the monkey coming down the chimney? What?
It's a Sherlock Holmes story. The murders in the Rue Morgue. Someone trains an orangutan to go down the chimney and kill people. Right after I recorded this, right after we recorded this, I realized that this is an Edgar Allan Poe story, not Sherlock Holmes.
All right.
It fucked. I seriously had nightmares. For 10 years. Maybe I don't still think
The
about it,
murderous
but
orangutans coming into your
the
room.
entire time I was in high school and into college, I was having nightmares about orangutans coming down the chimney.
Like a fucking Assassin's Creed
Yeah,
orangutan.
right. Yeah. More like Far Cry. If you got an orangutan with a fucking straight razor coming down the chimney, I think.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
No,
real
that
Ubisoft shit. Fucking
I'm
Sir Conan Doyle.
just kind of imagining an orangutan with a hidden blade being like, nothing
Yeah.
is true, everything is permitted.
The assassin is like up there on the roof targeting people inside the house, and the orangutan pet is just slipping down the chimney, slicing throats with a straight razor.
God. Make it happen, Lisa. I want to see how I don't know how Assassin's Creed Shadows is going to be. I'm kind of curious. I saw a preview from an interviewer that I usually like, or from a reviewer that I usually like, and she was like, he's played a lot of Assassin's Creed game, and she's like, it's fine. And I'm like, oh,
Oh dear.
that's a confident. He's like, there's, I mean, it's like an Assassin's Creed game. There's like a bunch of good stuff about it. I didn't watch the whole video. I'm sure that she's gonna probably circle around to what she didn't like, but she was just like, it's fine.
I hate to, yeah, I
That's
hate.
pretty much what I expect. I'm like,
Right.
as long as it's fine, then okay.
Yeah.
I'll probably play it eventually.
Yeah, I will. I feel like, yeah.
I feel like I'm not in a great rush to do so anymore, which I used to be when it came to Assassin's Creed games. I used to be in a great rush to play them when they came out.
I feel, yeah, all of the big Ubisoft properties and just a lot of big series right now, I just feel like are really spinning their wheels, and I don't, and it could just be me. It could just be that I've played them so much, but maybe that's the problem, is that they are just doing the same stuff. And now at the point of Far Cry 6 and, Valhalla and stuff, and whatever other open world games I've played in the last year or so, I just am kind of like, oh. Like, okay, we're doing this again. Like, I really just feel like, okay, I'm still doing this kind of thing.
Yeah, and
So I
it's
don't know, it
like
could just be me.
it's
Sorry.
the same game with like different skins and
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
slightly different combat systems
And now they're
to
all on like
what keeps you engaged.
the sixth or the 10th installment of all of these huge series, and
Yeah.
kind of like, okay, I've seen all this shit. I hate to sound cynical about it, but as I have said many times, I'm getting bored of games, and that part of it is why I haven't seen anything new. And since I was about to say since 2022, but Elden Ring wasn't, nothing about it was new. It just happened to do all the things at the time perfectly and at once. And
Right. If they
yeah,
called it Dark Souls 6 or whatever, then it would have been the same game. But
it was Dark Souls 4.
yeah, or whatever
I mean, you could
number.
have called Dark Souls 6 if you count like Bloodborne and some other couple games, but
Yeah, or Sekiro or
it was
whatever.
like the
Yeah.
sixth or seventh in the series. Sure, yeah,
Yeah.
it was, and
Yeah.
it just did all the things very well and was very
Yeah.
popular.
It's
And
almost like you don't
right,
even have to give them real names. Just call them like From Software Hard Game 1, From
yeah,
Software Hard Game 2.
or you can just like, I'm sure you could program a randomizer to do it, and it would be
Yeah.
called like Dragon Barrel, or and the next one could be like Bridge Assault. Well, that didn't come out as well. That should have had like a zombie something in it, but you know what I mean.
Which assaults of you.
Ghoul Zombie Assault Medieval. That's one.
Yeah.
FromSoft's great. I don't like what it looks like they're doing, and I don't know if they're doing stuff with Miyazaki anymore. I think he's working. He probably is. They probably are. He's probably working on something for them, but they're putting out some non-Miyazaki Elden Ring roguelike. I can't believe all those words just came out of my mouth in a line.
Yes, I saw that. The next thing is like some Elden Ring-ish, like competitive roguelike
Yeah,
game. It's I'm like,
multiplayer
okay.
roguelike. Okay, if that's what you're doing, fine. That's where we're at with games. Like, and that's what, and the roguelike is the pure expression of where we're at, because it's just recycled material, because that's just over and over again, and hopefully it'll be different enough. And there will be enough breadcrumbs or chocolate chips or whatever to cause you to keep chasing some big runestone you'll get if you kill 300 boars.
Yeah.
So this is where we are.
Yeah.
We are in the roguelike era of gaming and perhaps civilization as well. And certainly social media and probably social interaction at large. We're just roguelike and out there repeating ourselves. Yeah, so I said I didn't want to sound cynical, but there's that. There's all that right there.
Only been 2 months, man, since the year started. You were like
Oh my God, yeah. Okay. All right, I'll stop then.
you're gonna be positive about this year.
Yeah, I guess I gotta not talk about video games, because I really am. I'm really just, I'm sad. I'm sad that I don't like video games, but I mean, I
There was
played, man.
something else coming out soon that I was interested or excited to check out. I'm trying to remember what it was though. That wasn't Assassin's Creed.
Boy, I will not even begin to speak on Star Wars Outlaws because I really.
It
Well, I
was
will not.
boring.
I won't begin because I don't have anything nice to say about it. It looks beautiful.
It looked boring. It was boring
Yes,
too.
it looks beautiful and boring. I probably played it for. I bet I played it for 8 hours. I gave it a fair shot, and nothing was happening except it looking very nice.
It was a pretty fair shot.
Yeah, I think so. But yeah, but that's it. Just it illustrates where I'm at in that I'm just tired of video games, I guess. Oh well. There's plenty of other shit to do, like reading classical novels from New England in 1851.
Yeah, on second thought, I don't actually see anything that I was interested in coming out soon. So, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I definitely don't have my eye on anything. Yeah, something new has to come out. It's been a minute, I think. I think we're at a point where things are just kind of stabilized, and we're just kind of, yeah, like I said, spinning our wheels. Now I'm just repeating myself about it.
Yeah, but that's okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's hard to think of completely new, innovative ideas
Oh.
for how a game should play
Yeah.
and work and look and everything. That shit's hard. We talk, complain about like, oh, we're playing like the sixth or the eighth or whatever iteration of the game. But whenever people try to come out with like new IP or whatever, they talk about how hard it is for that IP, new IP to like get any traction.
It's true. Yeah, and it really is. Yeah. And you basically have to reinvent the wheel. You have to do something astound. You have to blow people's minds to even get your foot in the door.
Yeah. And that's so hard. That's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard to blow people's minds.
The industry blows. Industries in general blow. And yeah, so and yeah, I guess you got to keep your eyes open and look for little studios and developers doing neat things, and eventually someone will do something cool, and then everyone will copy it, and it'll become the next big thing. It'll be great.
Yeah.
Video games are awesome. You ever listen to Tim Rogers?
No.
Yeah, you should maybe consider writing that down and searching for Tim Rogers on YouTube. He does a show called Action Button, and it's these big, stupid, like 2-hour-long video game reviews, but I think he has amazing things to say. Like, I really, really recommend his videos. Action Button.
Action button.
Yeah.
All right.
Like, he does stupid shit like review Pac-Man for 2 hours. You know what I mean? Like, he finds 2 hours worth of stuff to talk about in Pac-Man.
Right,
So, yeah.
cool.
Yeah, that's where we're at with games and with Moby Dick, and it's February and that sucks, and maybe it'll be springtime. And yeah, thank you for reminding me that I said I wasn't gonna talk about how the world is ending this year. I'll try
Right.
not to.
I mean, and I remember even complimenting you, being
Yeah.
you have bravely chosen a year
This was a hell of a
to
year
do
to
that.
decide I was gonna do something like that, yeah.
Hello. Figured I'd come in and say hi.
Yo, what's going
What's up, man?
Not much. What's up, guys?
on? We're fucking chilling and bitching about Ubisoft.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm with it. I'm with it.
I've been very bored about video games, and I've been like doing a lot of repeating myself about how I play a video game for, a couple hours, and I'm just like, well, this feels exactly like some other video game I've already played. And
We are going through dark times in the video game world, at least on console and shit. Like I hear a lot of brand stories about what's going on TC, and I'm extremely jealous, but I think that we're in a very stale area of a video game,
Okay,
and that's
I think so. Yeah.
bad.
I don't, and as far as I can tell, I don't think anything cool is happening on PC.
No, I'm not seeing anything really super exciting coming. I just like, you know, I play the same thing over and over.
Yeah. By which I mean, well, I do the same thing over and over, but in which I pick a game and I play it for 4 to 8 hours and then I pick another one. Even
Oh,
after.
no, I just keep playing the games I've already played before.
Right. I mean, I do
Yeah.
that too. There's certain
I
games
will
that I just play over and over again.
occasionally start adding new games in, and with some stuff, and then I'll occasionally cycle back to an old game. Like I'm trying to cycle back to, I played a little bit of like Master of Magic.
I've always had like a really bad habit, where I hate video games the first 3 days that I get them. And now that I'm
Okay.
older, it's dangerous, right? Because I still hate video games the first 3 days that I have them, but then my attention span also disappears after the 3 days. So I don't
Yeah,
get
so
that
that's
fourth
it.
day.
Where you actually get into it, right?
Yeah. You know, like I just don't get there. Like, and there's been some cool games that, like concept wise, that was kind of cool. Like there was like a little rip off of Grounded called Small Folk, but
Okay.
like it just it was really badly implemented. You know what I
Sure.
mean? And I don't know. I'm hoping like the independent games get a little bit more attention because I feel as though their game mechanics might be, you know, like recycled, but like the thought process behind it seems pretty cool in most cases.
Yeah, there's definitely like a thought process that goes into like corporate kind of games that makes them all start to feel the same after all. I mean, we talk about how like the Ubisoft game experience is just the same game over and over again
Well,
with it again.
they all try to do whatever little things the other ones are trying to do until we get to a point where they're all AAA games are all doing all the things that are exactly the same. Yeah, and everything, yeah, and it leads to everything feeling the same. Yeah, I really think we're at a shit point in culture.
I think we've seen it. We're all like basically the same. Like we've seen it happen in video game, you know,
No, yeah.
like where we had like a dark 10 years. It was just like, what are we even fucking playing?
Around the early 2000s, also all movies were bad then as well. We were
Yeah.
just talking about
We're
that.
just talking about the early 2000s.
That was a terrible time for like pop
Oh, yeah.
media.
Post 9/11, nobody could decide if they wanted to be serious about shit or like forget about their troubles.
And everything was hideous
Yeah.
CGI.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you for listening to Maybe We'll Talk, a podcast where I talk to my friends on the phone. That was Saint and Mondo at the end, who is someone we knew from high school, and we've been talking to a little bit, and maybe we'll talk to him some more. I only had a little bit before I stopped recording that Thursday when we were talking about all of the sperm and how terrible the early 2000s were. I mean, was that decade? Was it a bad decade? I mean, I would say we're only talking about, like, art, and maybe just pop culture. We're not talking about art. We're talking about movies and whatever the fuck else, video games. I would say that the years 2000 through at least 2005 were shit. And movies stayed shit for until the whole decade was shit for movies, I think is fair to say. I'll think about it some more. But I'm just, you know what, the first thing that comes to mind is that goddamn refrigerator. So yeah, I don't know if I've really like said what I'm doing with this third season, and it should be obvious, kind of. Maybe not. Well, obviously we're reading Moby Dick, and I don't know if I've said that all of these movie recordings were from movies that we watched in October, and we watched a movie almost every night, and it was, you know, a Halloween horror-thon kind of situation, and that's why we were kind of like, there's going to be no structure here. We're going to record just whatever we're going to talk about after the movie, and it's not even going to be, you know, anything. And so, yeah, I guess I was thinking about that just because I might do something like that's my when me and Saint choose a new book to read, which I think we're going to, or maybe me and Alex will continue. We'll see what's happening next, but I think I will do. I like the fact that we did sort of an intensive, you know, a couple of weeks of watching stuff, and maybe we'll do that again. So anyway, I just mentioned that because I don't know, I feel like I've mentioned October a couple times, and this whole month it's been October, and isn't that cool? I wonder what month it's going to be for 6 months next. I guess it would, maybe not July. Boy, it's soon. It's almost been 6 months since October. What the fuck is happening? Is that all? I guess that's it. If you've listened to us and enjoyed us, thank you. And you can help us out by leaving a rating and review on whatever podcasting catching service app or whatever you have. Boy, I really should write this down. I say that like 50% of the time. Leave us a review and a rating because it helps the algorithm make people listen to us or something. I don't know. You can also go to koiadk.tv and you can get links to follow me on Blue Sky and Instagram. Help me out doing all that shit, like and subscribe, blah, 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 blah. What you can do, if you like listening to us, is come talk to me and Saint and Mondo and everyone else on Discord. I don't know who we're about to talk to. I think Grav and Michelle might be here. She falls asleep a lot, so she might not. I think Thrash, I talked to Thrash about either Terrifier 1 or 2. By the way, we're gonna watch Terrifier. We're gonna talk about Terrifier for 20 minutes or so. We watched, yeah, the not quite Terrifier trilogy, which was All Hallows Eve and then Terrifier 1. I still haven't seen Terrifier 3, and it, like I could at any, I mean, I got it. I could watch it at any time and haven't. I feel like maybe I'll DM Thrash right now. Hey, Thrash, let's watch Terrifier 3. Where else were we at? We also have to watch Friday the 13th parts 6, 7, and 8. That's the Undead trilogy. And the next time we do this kind of thing, Buckaroo Banzai is definitely on the list, and so is a film called Nothing But Trouble, which, boy, I recommend you going and seeking that one out if you don't know what it is. So is that it? All the things? You can follow me. And yeah, you can go to lakehousesoaps.com and buy some soap from me. There's probably some other ways you can monetarily help me out if you really, really want to. But some of those links and things, that's all. Man, yeah, I need to make that like concise because it's a fucking mess. Because I feel like an idiot saying all of it, obviously. And I have to stop saying that. I shouldn't be commenting on it. How much sausage have we talked about so far? How much sperm? Jesus, it's not sperm. It's a fatty echolocation substance in the head that is a lot like sperm. Let's talk about Terrifier. Fuck. Is here.
Well, he sure sawed that lady right in half.
Yep, the old sawing the lady in half.
Yeah. What's that, a fresh saw blade?
I was gonna say it looked fairly rusty, so I was wondering how it was like going through like butter. That was
You know, I really that I was put
interesting.
a I put a lot of thought into what kind of damage that would do to a saw. Because I started
Yeah.
thinking, like, it would have to be real hard, first of all, to saw through several bones in a row. You'd have to avoid, well, the hips, I don't even. Totally ignoring the hips. I was like, well, you would have to go to the side of the spine. And then I was like, sawing through all those ribs one at a time, every time you hit one would probably jar you up. But then I was like, maybe living bones might be a little bit softer than what I imagine sawing through bone is like. And then I thought to myself, all the shards of soft, wet bone would totally get into the saw blade immediately.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about.
Yeah, we gum that shit right
We'd
up.
totally gum it up. Totally unfeasible.
My gosh.
Very unrealistic movie.
I know, 0 out of 10. Unrealistic. I'm kind of getting on board with the low budget vibe, though.
Yeah, I totally am. I really, yeah, it really reminds me of, I mean, classic, a lot of classic stuff, like you said, from the 80s and 90s, but it really specifically reminds me of, well, it does, well, Friday the 13th, in just the budget and the kind of the presentation and just sort of what it's like, but I like all the boiler room vibes and underground tunnels and pipes and dirty. There is a Nightmare on Elm Street element just to the
Bad
kind of,
lighting.
yeah. I love the, yeah, I like a lot of the settings, the set pieces here.
Some of the best films are totally low budget.
Yeah, and I say it over and over again, but like what I find so entertaining is seeing what people can do on that budget. I think this movie was made with
Yeah.
$1,000. I think I heard that today. And that the second one, 5,000.
That's insane.
Yeah, that's incredible. Like, you couldn't make a Nightmare on Elm Street with that much money in 1984. In with $1984.
No, not at
Right.
all.
Yeah. I do kind of miss film. Just the, I don't know, I don't want to say a warm quality or a living quality, but
Well, it's true though.
there is something about
It's
film.
a natural texture.
Yeah.
Natural texture.
Is that your first time seeing it, Kuya?
Oh yeah, I've never seen that one. Yeah, I've never
Oh,
seen.
really?
And last week was the first time I saw All Hallows Eve. I have never seen any of this Art the Cloud nonsense.
The clown
Oh,
nonsense.
these are brilliant. The second one's just as good.
I'm looking
Brutal as
forward to.
fuck.
I would like to watch the second one soon. Like maybe Saturday if people are around, or like really, whenever. Yeah. Maybe I, yeah.
I'm gonna be at a friend's party, but yeah, y'all have fun with that though.
I hope you have fun.
Yeah, thank you.
There's so
Yeah,
much
I'd be
stuff I want
down.
to watch. I mean, it's not like we have to stop watching things at the end of October, but yeah. Yeah, I would like to see that. I would like to watch The Midnight Meat Train at some point. I probably will watch All Hallows Eve 2 at some point. I just felt like I would rather start getting into Terrifier, especially since the third one is like the biggest thing in the planet right now.
It's amazing how much of a phenomenon it's become.
Cool. It good. It like I love it. I
Absolutely.
like it should be. I love that some dude was making these stupid short films about a clown and like a monster that looked like a sack of meat. And then someone gave him $1,000 to make a fake lady to saw in half. Like he obviously like I love it's exactly what I love about Nightmare on Elm Street. Like I love that you can tell that the people making this love making fake injuries and fake people and buckets of blood and just if they have to show it for 1 second because it looks so terrible, that's what they do and they make it work. And like I love like it's I feel like it's the kind of thing that you have to really 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 love doing if you're gonna put that much effort into still doing it this way.
For sure.
Yeah, really.
It's kind of endearing.
Yeah, I love the practical shit. I just, yeah, and I kind of, I don't know. I mean, I guess I'll get, it's, I guess it's just sad to me. It shouldn't be, but it's sad that no one will ever shoot this kind of movie on film again, or no one will shoot any movie on film. You can make movies look pretty good these days, but it's just ridiculous how expensive it would be to shoot something like that on actual film these days with these dollars. It would be bajillions of them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's cool. But it's also great that people like the guy behind this movie get to make movies without having to pay for film. That's, you know, that's the upside. And I would rather have that. I would rather have everyone making movies. I want to make one so bad. I'm going to buy 1,000 buckets of blood.
Full Clive Barker deep dive, right on.
Yeah, Midnight Meat Train is really good, man. Yeah, there's a bunch of other things that I still want to watch. Obviously, what were we just talking about? Silence of the Lambs. There's a bunch of old stuff still on my list.
Mm-hmm. But you have seen Silence of the Lambs before, right?
This can't possibly be true.
What do you mean?
I feel like I saw it in the high school. No high school class would show us that movie, right?
No, absolutely not. Oh, man, no.
So it's been a very long time. I have seen it. I remember, like, the kind of twist. I can always... There's a sort of... It's not really a twist, but there's a fake-out they do in that movie that is in, like... I always identify it when they do the same thing, where it's showing shots of the bad guy cut with the cops approaching the house, and you really feel like it's the cops are about to get the guy, but then the scenes with the cops are actually them approaching a different house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's my big takeaway.
Yep. That is what happened.
Yeah, so whenever I see that kind of thing happening on a TV show, I'm always like, oh man, Silence of the Lambs. But that's like, seriously, that's my big identifier, because I feel like I watched it when I was, I mean, I'm sure I was 16 or 17, but I don't know why. I think, I feel like I watched it, you know how like in sometimes in a high school class, they'll show you a movie over like three, I guess like 4 20-minute periods.
Yeah.
I really feel like I watched this movie in a high school class over like 4 days, and it just that there's no, that can't be true. It can't be.
No. They might have, because I feel like it's rated R, so so maybe if you were, maybe it was like a senior class or something like that. Yeah, that's a possibility. It would have. Like writing through film or something like that, like some sort of yes.
Oh man, writing through film.
Yeah.
They oh, film. Us... Lit. Oh, were you?
Oh, I was just saying film lit. Yeah.
Oh, film lit. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
In our high school, it was called writing through film. They showed us The Shawshank Redemption. They might have showed me that in writing through film. But yeah, so anyway, it's been a long time, and I'm not sure if I've even seen it all in one shot, basically.
It is a great movie.
Yeah, some guy, like, throws semen at the woman.
Yes.
Yeah. There's no way they showed us that. He has a little dog.
Precious.
I feel like that little dog is like pretty famous. I feel like that little dog was like in some other movies. Silence, Lambs, Little Dog.
I'm intrigued too. I think the dog was actually Precious. I think that was the dog's name. I think that was what he called it, the dog.
Darla was a Bichon Frise, best known for her acting role as Precious in the 1991 thriller The Silence of the Lambs. Darla acted in several other films, including Batman Returns.
Oh, yeah! It was Max Schreck's dog.
Darla began her career in the 1985 film Pee-wee's Big Adventure and appeared in The Burbs starring Tom Hanks. Her most notable role was The Silence of the Lambs. Darla became a cult icon due to the film's success and was the subject of a Facebook fan page titled Precious. Her final role was in 1992's Batman Returns.
Aww.
Good job, Darla.
Good job. That's super rad. I never knew that.
I love that shit.
What a fun little fact.
I love it when they bring the animal actor like to the red carpet.
Mm-hmm. I remember that dog. She was with the probably only normal looking person of the like carny folk that lived in Penguin's lair.
Oh.
And yeah, it's been
a while since I've seen that one too. I've seen the first one a bunch of times.
If I remember right, the dog was able to catch the batarang Batman. That was something. If I remember right.
That's a very special puppy.
I think I remember a bit like that, but
I got an important question about Terrifier.
Yes.
Did Michelle stay awake?
No. She got to like the halfway point, I want to say.
Oh man, dude, the guys in this video say how much it costs to shoot this video.
Yeah.
It's got to be ridiculous, right? 35 million millimeter is a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know if you recall me at your house on the internet with Boav buying 3 minutes of 16 millimeter for, like, I think $90.
Holy shit.
Jesus.
Which we never shot. But that's what it's like. Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. It's like, and that's 16 millimeter, what I just said. And I'm sure nowadays it's twice that much. It's crazy. Oh. Film is deranged, and then you have to have it developed.
Oh, yeah. And good luck finding somebody that can do that these days.
Right. I think you can still go down, and that, well, now I'm talking about still photography, but I'm pretty sure because I have like four rolls of film from like the fucking 90s sitting on the shelf over here. Do they like, are they going to be all, there's going to be like ghosts and shit on them if I actually go in. But what I was going to say is that you can, I'm pretty sure you can put them in an envelope at the CVS and like come back like a week later and buy them. I'm pretty sure they still have that service where they'll mail it away for you.
Yes, oh, really? They do. I used it recently for a bunch of like 35 millimeter I found laying around in like a pocket. It was expensive. It was like $170 for five canisters, six maybe.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Jesus.
God damn it.
I was not expecting that price. I was like, oh, it'll be like, you know, probably like $90, you know, all said and done. But no, it was almost double that.
That's wild.
Holy shit. Were the pictures clear? Did they come out good?
The pictures were clear. They were from like 15 years ago.
Oh man. Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. So, mine are probably 20 or so.
I found a bunch of rolls of film that I had taken up to the cabin in Cape Cod that my parents would rent sometimes. And I literally just dicked around and played with settings and stuff. So I spent $170 to look at like really old pictures of like the sand.
Great. Yep. Oh, that's
different.
Great.
Oh,
man. I'm going to
like, you know, a little bit of a nostalgia trip, so it wasn't totally lost, but you know, I wouldn't have expected it to be almost $200 to get that done.
Yeah, that's scary. Damn, I think I got
criminal.
Yeah, I got five. Looking at five rolls sitting over there.
I would do it one at a time, and
That makes more sense.
You know, take your time with it.
Yeah, they might not have anything on them at all. They might be really interesting.
Could be interesting. Could be. That was the shot I was willing to take. I had no idea what I was, you know, because I would walk around with a camera slung to my back all the time, so I wasn't sure, you know, what I was gonna get. But
yeah,
it's just Cape Cod.
Fucking cool.
It by myself, and I was like, Ryan, you have to watch this movie with me. It's really gory and amazing. But then I think I like fell asleep while he watched it with me, and then the last time we watched it, I fell asleep. So hopefully I won't today. But
it's okay if you do. You seem to like it.
I really like them.